are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode for Tuesday, February the 18th, and still digesting All-Star Weekend. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to talk about Svi, All-Star Saturday, the All-Star Game, the changes, the chorus of everyone excited and satisfied with what the NBA did with the All-Star Game. And we're going to break it down a little bit with Lauren Williams of M Live, who was there in Chicago. I wanted to introduce you guys to Lauren, a friend of mine, in case you are not following her work and her on Twitter as well. But speaking of that, give me a follow on Twitter also while we're out there giving Twitter follows. It's Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, check out the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but we took a day off of the podcast for President's Day. I hope you guys don't mind. We just don't get the numbers on the holidays. When you guys are away from your work, away from your routine, or some of you are, we just don't get it. Figured it's All-Star break. Figured I'd take an All-Star break of my own, and we did that. Appreciate you guys' patience. But yeah, I just still wanted to reflect a little bit on the All-Star weekend. I know we're a couple days away from it now. Got some other stuff planned this week as the Pistons will return to action on Thursday at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. Should be an easy one there at Little Caesars Arena. But the Pistons over the All-Star weekend, Svi Mykhailiuk in the Rising Stars game on Friday night. His team, World, loses to Team USA 151-131. Svi finishes with 6 points, 2-for-11 from the field and 2-for-9 from three. Knocked down a couple of them and almost had that really nice putback dunk, which would have been fun. But more power to Svi as he gets it done and plays with his not great shooting, obviously, but represented for the Pistons, and we're happy to see that there. But All-Star Saturday, Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat wins the Skills Challenge. Buddy Hield of Sactown gets the win in a dramatic three-point shootout victory. And speaking of dramatic, of course, you guys know about the Derrick Jones Jr. dunk contest. Controversial win. Dwayne Wade fixing it for his old teammate. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Twitter uproar, of course. This is me being old. Once again, you've come to expect it. I do not have strong feelings about this, and I don't think we need to change or fix the dunk contest. We don't need to really feel bad for Aaron Gordon and send him flowers and talk about how great he is. It's the dunk contest. It's for kids. It needed to end, so it wasn't clean. Obviously, Aaron Gordon should have won, sure. Derrick Jones Jr. was great, though. It was a great contest. I had fun watching it. And if you're all fired up about it, if you're tweeting about it endlessly, then maybe you're just someone who's looking for something to be fired up about on Twitter. And I realize when I say kids that it's for the kids, that maybe I mean some of you guys in the 20s set. And I know I'm a bit out of touch there. But, man, I just don't have the energy to go nuts about Aaron Gordon and the dunk contest and how wronged he was. Maybe just take a weekend off of the outrage for All-Star Weekend. But legitimately thrilling, I thought the contest was. The wrong guy probably won, but who cares? I'm not going to get bent off of shape about it. And maybe the controversy helps the NBA a little bit too. So my one take that is a little bit hot about the dunk contest is, does every dunk have to be jumping over someone? I mean, at some point, does it? And again, jumping over someone, Taco Fall, Chance the Rapper was out there about 35 times. Giannis, everyone else that was jumped over. I was in a bar watching it with some friends and just kind of having some post-dinner drinks and chatting about it. And so I didn't even know who like some of these people were that were getting jumped over. That's just me showing my age, of course. But can't we do something else besides jumping over people? Again, not talking about it being unimpressive. It's amazing. It's very impressive. But at some point, if it's like, okay, whose turn is it? Derrick Jones. Now, who are you going to jump over? Like, who are you going to pull out from the crowd? It's like, I remember when I was a teenager and I was really into the dunk contest. I loved it. Vince Carter was like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me when we were in high school watching that. But at some point, I don't remember exactly when it was, but there was like an era of a couple years of dunk contests where everyone was just throwing the ball up in the air from the three-point line and catching it off of one bounce and doing something. And it was like, it got really annoying because, A, the dunks were all the same, but B, they'd screw up the toss. So it didn't count as a miss. Like back then, if you missed, like you took a zero on that round. So you could just keep throwing the toss, and as long as you didn't like go up and try to actually attempt the dunk, it didn't count. So it was like a little technicality loophole. But I mean, as impressive as that was back then, that was like that version of dunking over, jumping over somebody. And the dunks get better and better as time goes on. Don't ever listen to the old heads and say that this guy was better, this guy was better. Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, Derek Jones Jr., they would kill Dominique Wilkins in the dunk contest. Michael Jordan, everyone else. Don't get it twisted. But yeah, it's the new version of throwing it up from the three-point line is the jump over teammate du jour. But the All-Star game, so good. I loved it. I watched the intros. I watched the Kobe intro stuff and the tribute stuff, which was really good. And as I usually do with the All-Star game, I pretty much turned it off very quickly, picked up a book, and was reading it instead. And I know I'm like a caricature of old person at this point talking about reading instead of watching the All-Star game. But, you know, obviously in between pages, you check it on Twitter, make sure you're not missing anything. I got some guys still from the trade deadline with Twitter alerts popping up, so I'm still well aware of what's going on. And when everyone starts going nuts about the end of the third quarter and how good this thing's getting, of course, I flicked it back on. And it was great. I was enthralled. It was really cool. It's cool to see guys giving it their all, both ends of the floor, pressure, guys choking, Elam ending forever. Just love it. They've got to get into every NBA game as soon as possible. It'll happen. It'll probably be a decade. But, you know, everyone's talking summer league right away or the in-season tournament. Maybe that'll be it. No, every game soon. As soon as possible. And for the short term, Giannis and LeBron, give me that in the finals all day long. I loved Kemba and Harden screwing up at the end of the game. I can't get enough of those types of guys who legitimately have never been in that kind of moment. It was great. The coaches, what are you doing? No subbing in the fourth quarter. What is going on? Drama. Just a lot of angles there. Really impressed with Chris Paul. This guy is like completely reborn. It's not my favorite part of the season because I'm not a CP3 guy, but I can dig it. Good to see him out there. Kawhi and LeBron and Anthony Davis all on the same team was a little bit scary to watch, seeing as though Kawhi almost went to the Lakers. Just an awesome celebration of basketball, basketball culture. Again, it's passed me by. A lot of this stuff has passed me by. But even the stuff that I didn't know who that was or the TikTok chicks, don't know what's going on there. But it's cool. It should have passed me by. This is not for me, and that's fine. And I appreciate the parts that I know and love and the remixed version of that, of the dunk contest and all the stuff that they're doing. The celebrities that are there that some of them I don't know, I still love it. It's great. Takes you back to a time when you have the sleepover of three friends come over and you watch the dunk contest, three-point shootout. Really does take me back to like 11-year-old Matt. Great times. And I really enjoyed it. Really appreciated that this is a thing that's still happening and not going to get bent out of shape about the judging or what Chadwick Boseman thought of the dunks. So up next, someone who was there, Lauren Williams of M Live. Glad that she took the time to join us after she traveled back from Chicago on Monday for All-Star Weekend. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, as we all know, the stress of daily life weighs on us all, whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular podcaster trying to get through the day. Muscle pain and muscle tension, it's a real thing for all of us. And that's why I'm excited to use Theragun, the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. I was telling you guys how I was out for All-Star Saturday night, and I was out with a friend of mine, and she was saying she just loves Theragun. This is before I found out that they were going to be a sponsor on the show. She went on and on about it. She loves getting the deep tissue massages. She goes to the massage place every time, asks for it as hard as possible, can't get enough of it. And in substitute of all the money you're spending for that, she gets the Theragun. She loves it. She's helping her sleep. I'm excited to try it out myself. I've got one on the way. Really excited to use it and tell you guys about how much it's helping my back from my bad posture sitting here on this chair talking to you guys here on the podcast. But yeah, this is a perfect sponsor for all you guys. Feel better naturally, treat your pain, and get back to your life. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days of your money back by going to Theragun.com/lockdown. Theragun is Theragun.com/lockdown. For a limited time, my listeners to this podcast get a free charging stand with purchase. That is a $79 value. Again, that's Theragun.com/lockdown. Theragun.com/lockdown.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Lauren Williams, my friend from the Detroit Sports Beat out there. She writes for MLive. She's one of the newest members of the Pistons press corps as well. Helps out Ansar Khan with the Pistons coverage. Also covers the Lions with their group at MLive as well. She was our eyes on the ground on All-Star Weekend in Chicago. So, Lauren, thanks for taking the time to join us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, it's great to be here.
Yeah, and I know we talked before we started recording that you're a little tired from your travels, so I appreciate you you doing this, and thanks again.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
And give Lauren a follow on Twitter. It's L-A-U-R-E-N, and then Willie, so most of
yes.
Williams, at W-I-L-L-I, and then the number 23 after that. So give her a follow as well. But Lauren, so you're new to Detroit still a few months in. Tell us how you came about getting over to Michigan and where all you came from.
Yeah, so I'm actually originally from Jamaica. I lived there until I was actually 10. And each year, I guess you could say, I just made my way further and further up the East Coast. I did my undergraduate at Mount Holyoke and graduate school at Syracuse, go Orange. And I worked for the Patriots actually for 3 years before joining MLive this past September. So that's kind of how I ended up in Detroit. And it's been pretty good. You guys have been treating me pretty well over here.
Yeah, and we're very provincial here in Detroit and in Southeast Michigan and in Michigan as a whole, and maybe a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. So as someone who's been here for several months now, what do you think about Detroit? Do you tell everyone you know, friends growing up and friends from college and everything, about how great Detroit is when you talk to them now?
I do. I will say that I'm very pleasantly surprised. You know, there's always a perception of what Detroit is going to be like. But I can say that, you know, there's been a lot of amazing things that has been happening around the city. And it's kind of exciting to be here at a point where it's kind of transitioning, I guess you can call it. But it's been really great to see all of the progress that's been made. But also to talk to, you know, people who have lived there their entire lives and are excited about the progress that the city has made itself. So, you know, that's kind of, it's really exciting to see that.
And I know you moved here shortly after Lions season began, I believe, or right around the time that preseason was happening. So you haven't yet gotten the full year of Michigan, the Michigan summers. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for summer. Everyone says that it's absolutely beautiful here. So I really want to get out and explore not just Detroit in the summer, but I guess the entire state of Michigan. I know there's a lot of ground to cover. So we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely. And speaking of ground to cover, you were, like we mentioned, you were in Chicago for All-Star Weekend at United Center as well. What was the experience like for you? What was it your first time even being at the All-Star Weekend? And for those of us, I've actually never even, not only not covered it, but I've never been as a fan either at All-Star Weekend. What was some of the things that maybe surprised you about the whole experience?
I was so pleasantly surprised with just how many people were there. I guess I never expected All-Star Weekend to be so busy and so overwhelming with the amount of activities that they had to do. I know players in the past have talked about, you know, the weekend being jam-packed with stuff and they don't really get as much time to spend with family. But I know a couple of the players, you know, they said that they tried to make it a priority to, you know, get around the city with their family there. But yeah, you just kind of have to pick and choose what you want to do. You kind of have to have a plan in place of what you're going to see. But I think the biggest surprise for me was probably the results of the slam dunk contest on Saturday night, just because, you know, I know he didn't clear Taco Fall, but Aaron Gordon definitely got robbed on that one.
Yeah, I think he kind of stole the show. And although Derrick Jones was great too, like you said.
He was absolutely phenomenal. But I don't know. There's something to be said about somebody jumping over a human who's over 7 feet tall.
Yeah, I don't think you or I are going to be going for that anytime soon.
No.
Lauren, I mean, you've been around, like you said, the Patriots for a few years and then the Lions and Pistons too. So you're probably past – at least some of the starstruck, phase of a young reporter. But I would imagine that All-Star Weekend, maybe there's like a whole nother level of that. I would maybe assume. Did you have?
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, that's so and so, or did you interview someone quickly that was something like that?
Well, I wouldn't. So I definitely wasn't starstruck by the players themselves, just because mm-hmm. I guess I just thought of it as another day on the job.
Sure.
But I definitely got a little bit starstruck around Jadana. a musician. Mm-hmm. So definitely tried to get a picture, but didn't get that. That's okay. Everybody has a life to live. But it was just really cool being around, pop culture and sports kind of intersecting together, which is another great thing about the All-Star Weekend. It's just, seeing the celebrities get involved in some of the contests on Saturday night was pretty cool. But also just how excited they were to see the players, be competitive on the court, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah. The Sunday night game was more than we expected, or more than we maybe anticipated, as far as the level
for
of play.
Sure.
And along those lines, like you said, a huge cultural weekend, not just basketball being celebrated, but like you said, the mm-hmm. culture being celebrated as well. And of course, the big news with basketball these last few weeks is the sad death of Kobe Bryant. And I would imagine, on TV, all the speeches from Magic Johnson and the award being named for him for the All-Star Game MVP as well. When you were having conversations with, other journalists and folks that you mm-hmm. were talking to throughout the weekend, was it just the number one thing that everyone kind of passed along? And was it just kind of people kind of sharing their own memories and thoughts? Or how did that all kind of get woven into what is otherwise a joyous celebration of the game?
For the journalists, I wouldn't say it was something that was a big topic of conversation around the core. But, you definitely have to ask the players what their experiences with him were. He left a lasting impression on many of them. Many of them grew up watching him. So, of course, with this particular game being focused on him with so many tributes, the jerseys for him and Gianna, the fact that, the MVP award was permanently changed to his name, even the musicians who performed at halftime all had something to incorporate into their performances to honor him. So, while the press didn't necessarily have anything specific that they might have talked about him, you could definitely feel his presence was there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've covered many games at the United Center. I used to live in Chicago and covered a lot of Bulls, and I'm obviously picturing the main media room there. And I saw on Twitter, I think it was one of the Bucks, someone who covers the Milwaukee Bucks, was talking about how they had just a kind of a horror show of something leaking out of a ceiling. And the picture that they took was of like not the media room. It was kind of obviously like an auxiliary room that maybe they were working in. It looked like kind of a basement type area. What was that kind of logistically like as far as being a journalist? And I'm assuming so many more journalists obviously than a typical Bulls game or even a playoff game,
right,
or whatever. So what was that kind of like for you?
It was chaotic in a good way, just because uh-huh. A lot of these people, they see each other several times a year when their teams play each other, but to have everybody all in one place at the same time was kind of exciting to see, just because, they definitely talked a bit about their teams and playoff chances or not playoff chances, lottery picks, all of that stuff. So you just had a ton of, ideas bouncing around with opinions as well, too, if that makes sense, too. But I think it just got really, really crowded when, you had the after game pressers or the post game pressers. Because they would bring in, team MVPs or the team captains at the end of the night to talk about the game, and you have a million people trying to squeeze in to get a question in. So you kind of have to work with what you got, or you have to be a little bit aggressive to know or to be seen, if that makes sense, to get the players to notice you so you can get your questions answered. I would say Media Day was probably even more chaotic, especially with all the podiums around. They had us in Wintrust Arena. That's where DePaul plays. So you just had this like kind of tight space with you know, I would guess maybe 200 people crammed in with players sitting on a podium high up. It was definitely harder to get questions out that way as well, just because they're so far back from where people are standing that sometimes they couldn't hear what you had to say. So sometimes you found yourself repeating questions, or you'd start to ask your full question, but they were already focused on someone else. So it was kind of an experience that, you know, teaches you to be a little bit more forthcoming.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many journalists, and you have to get your work done. And I read some of your work from over the weekend. You had some of the dunk contest coverage, but also stories from Svi Mykhailiuk, who played in the Rising Stars game on Friday night, and then Devin Booker of Grand Rapids for the Phoenix Suns playing the All-Star game and the three-point shootout as well. What were some of the things that you found that were most interesting from those stories about those guys? I know you know Svi and have talked to him before as well, but you know, from those guys, is there some things that you kind of gleaned about being young guys on that big stage that they were on, maybe even for the first time as well?
I was, you know, pleasantly surprised at how Svi approached the night. You know, he approached it from a perspective of it being a networking event. As you know, Svi is coming off of an injury, and you know, he's never had a strain before, but he said that it wasn't something that was super major. They were just being kind of cautious with it. They didn't want it to, you know, be exacerbated, which is why he took some time off. But yeah, he approached everything as just an opportunity to meet new people, be around some of, you know, the rising stars in the league, not to play off of the title of the game or the challenge, but to get to know some of those young guys who are coming up and who he might see, you know, for hopefully a long career for him. He actually got a chance to play against his old Kansas teammate, Devontae Graham. So that was pretty cool to see them interact as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and with Booker, you know, he just kind of approached the snub as he should have been there in the first place. But you could clearly tell in the three-point competition that he wanted to use the opportunity to the best of his ability, especially since he won it back in 2018. And then, you know, we saw how that turned out. He got beaten at the last shot by Buddy Hield. So, you know, he just kind of, you know, brushed off to get ready for Sunday night's game. And, you know, he had a couple of moments in there. But I think, you know, being so young, he gets overshadowed a little bit by some of the older guys who finished out the game on Sunday night.
Yeah, and like you said in your story, what's interesting about Booker is that the process of being snubbed at first almost worked out in a positive, because a lot of the players backed him up and talked about how good he was when the snub happened. Mm-hmm. And of course, those of us in the media, he was kind of the number one snub, quote unquote, that everyone was talking about that deserved to go. So it's almost like he got the best of both worlds. He got to go to the All-Star game, but he also got kind of a day or 2 days of the media cycle
of
everyone talking about.
Yeah.
So kind of nice for him in some ways.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's kind of cool to see that the guy who he, you know, filled in for was saying essentially the same thing as everybody else, that he should have been in it to begin with. So to have somebody that he looked up to kind of bolster him and recommend that he be the person that takes his place, that must have felt pretty good for him as well. And I think he was very appreciative of, you know, Lillard, you know, being an advocate for him after he announced that he wouldn't have been able to play.
Of course, and Lillard had to focus on his rap performance anyway, so it was good for him to kind of get the time off of the court, so that was probably good for
him.
So, Lauren, I want to wrap up with this. You've been around the Pistons quite a bit, the Lions pretty much all season as well, with the Patriots before that. You know, the Detroit sports scene, you've seen it up close and personal. It's pretty bad right now. It's lethargic. These teams are really struggling. Is there something you saw in New England, and the New England and Lions comparisons go over and over ad nauseum about what the Lions might be trying to do to copy the Patriots and all that stuff. But is there something that you kind of notice about these teams that's just a little bit off? And we could go on and on about jokes about the Lions all day probably. But I mean, is there anything that, and I know it's hard to put you on the spot here, but is there anything that stands out as unusual or similarities or differences between these two beats that might help us out in Detroit, or maybe something that might give us a little bit of hope as fans looking at these teams?
Oh, man.
It's a little bit of a loaded question.
A little bit. I think, you know, you just kind of have to stick it out and, you know, never give up hope. If you kind of look back at, you know, the Patriots, they also had their own kind of rough patch that lasted, you know, a few decades, but you kind of got to just stick it out. I think that it's always interesting to be around a team that, you know, has a chip on their shoulder, and it's going to continue to serve them well down the line, especially once things turn around for them. So as the person who's optimistic that I don't know when it will change, but as somebody who's optimistic that it will, I just have to say, just, you know, got to keep sticking it out. And you don't want to be the bandwagon fan.
Yeah, and the odds are that one of these days, at least for some of our teams here in Detroit, it'll turn around at some point, and we appreciate the optimism and enthusiasm from you
there. Yeah.
Well, Lauren,
Gotta balance it out.
Absolutely. And Lauren Williams of M Live, she covers the Lions and also the Pistons quite a bit as well. Give her a follow on Twitter, Lauren, LAUREN Williams, or just Willie for the Twitter handle at WILLI, the number 23 after that. Lauren Williams, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks once again to Lauren Williams of M Live. Be sure to give her a follow and tell her you enjoyed her visit with us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that'll do it for our show. Some more exciting stuff lined up for tomorrow as well. And thanks to you guys for listening. Excited to get some basketball going back on. Nice to get a little bit of a rest from the Pistons, but let's see how this development goes for 25 more or so games. Excited to talk NBA draft with you guys in the coming weeks as well. And a little bit refreshed from a nice little Monday, three-day holiday weekend from the podcast. Ready to give you guys another solid week, and as we move on to March, talk maybe a little bit of college basketball as well, and should be a good time. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks again, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.